Hello and welcome. You are listening to Gore and Guilty Podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Georgia.
And today is our 1 year anniversary, or at least our 1 year anniversary episode.
Whoop woo!
Georgia has prepared a little special something for us that's a bit different from our normal episodes. I'm super excited. Georgia, do you want to give a little sneak peek into what today's episode's about?
Yes, of course. So I am so excited. Yeah, 1 year anniversary. Woo woo! We are going to be doing a listeners episode. So it's our first listeners episode. We really appreciate all the people that have sent in their stories so far. We've selected, I believe we're going to do 4 stories today. A little reveal. We'll be doing one about like a clairvoyant sort of dream vision-y thing. Ghost dogs or like guardian angel dogs, and also a true crime story that happened in America. So very exciting. We've got a little selection there for you.
Should be good. Quite the range. It's going to be good. Everyone keep on your toes.
Oh yeah.
Before we start talking about all these cool stories, Georgia, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yeah, so yesterday was the Six Nations rugby, England against Wales, and currently, as you guys know, I am living in Wales, but I am English. So it was quite interesting watching the rugby in a Welsh household and being the, like, I felt very outnumbered. But England won, woo! Which I don't think they were that happy about, but that was quite good fun.
Have you had to perfect your Welsh accent to try and blend in?
I honestly, accents, I do not do them well, and I cannot master it. I don't know, can
go
you?
On, give it a go. Go on. Go on.
No, I really can't, honestly. Every time, like, I've attempted it, everyone around me just goes, just stop. No. Can you do a Welsh accent?
Not very well. Whenever I try and do a Welsh accent, there's like only one thing I can say, which is just from a funny video. It was like a news report about a woman whose husband and family had basically brought the COVID infection to like a small town in Wales, and it just like super spread it because even though there were rules against it, they'd gone on like a booze tour.
Oh no.
And when the reporter asked her, why did your husband and family do this? She was like, well, they go every year, they do. And that's like the only thing I can say in a Welsh accent.
They go every year, they do. No, I sound like Yoda.
Hey, that was good.
No,
I don't.
I sound like Yoda.
Maybe Yoda was Welsh.
Hey, maybe. Oh dear. I'm very sorry, guys. But yeah, how have you been?
I've been good. Also living the Welsh dream here, but moving about a lot, which is why I've been relatively quiet on social media. And yeah, just been in London with meeting various people. And it was cool, like there was one of my Norwegian and Hungarian colleagues that were in London this week. I took them to a Wetherspoons, which for people outside of the UK is like a massive pub chain.
Yeah.
It's kind of like really shit. No one wants to go there, but everyone does.
Everyone goes, yeah. Cheap
they
drinks,
loved it.
Cheap food.
They loved it.
That's all you need. Did they? Oh.
Yeah, they loved it. They were Spoons fans by the time they left. So yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, you've been super busy. Super busy lately.
Super busy, yeah. But having lots of fun. And
yeah, all good stuff.
Yeah, it's all good. But yeah, no, that's all been cool. And I'm just doing some like spring cleaning, trying to get my life back in order now that I'm back in Wales for a few days.
And organizing.
Then back off again to the Shire, to Gloucester on Wednesday. So yeah, life is busy, but life is good.
No rest for the wicked.
Yeah, and then obviously we've got this kind of crazy backdrop right now. So this episode will be going out next Monday. God knows what the situation will be then. But yeah, I guess we should probably say that our thoughts are going out to those in Ukraine that had their lives disrupted by this awful change of events.
So tragically sad. And it's just, yeah, it's incredibly sad and just unbelievable. I just wish I could just take it all away, you know, and just stop this. But yeah, our thoughts go out to all of those people, and yeah, we hope that hopefully it all sorts itself out soon.
Yeah, I think so. I've noticed as well, like, a lot of... I've noticed as well that a lot of people in the media, when they're saying, like, you know, stop the war.
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff. Like, I wish they're a bit more specific, like, just fuck Putin.
Yeah.
So that's my message.
Yeah, fuck Putin.
We don't have many listeners, but for those that are listening, like, fuck Putin.
Yeah.
And hopefully he gets what he deserves, because
it's just gotta stop.
We need a break after COVID, and now we're just straight back into another crisis. It's so annoying.
Absolutely. God, let's just have a break. But yeah, our thoughts go out to all those people out there. It's terribly sad. And I was saying to Greg that what's different with this is that with technology advancing so rapidly, everyone around the world are seeing videos of everything that is going on in that country, and it really highlights the violence, the destruction, the devastation that's going on there. And it's very difficult, it's impossible to turn a blind eye to what's going on there. You're constantly visualizing it all, and so yeah. It's just terribly sad. So yeah, hopefully it all sorts itself out soon.
Indeed, fingers crossed. But anyhow, shall we go into today's episode and kick off with our first story?
Yes, let's do it. So our first listener's story is from Dave. It's titled, Was It Just a Dream?
Oh, I love that.
It's good, right?
I love that. Nice. Okay, cool. I didn't realise we were having titles and everything.
Oh, yeah. This is cool. Yeah, you've got to title your story. So, thank you very much, Dave, for sending it in. We appreciate everyone that sends in their stories. So, please send them in. And, you know, no story is too small. They're all important. We love reading them. So, was it just a dream? In the summer of 1991, I had a dream, or it should probably be called a nightmare. It was incredibly vivid, almost real. Before I continue, I should probably say that I have never been to a funeral parlour before. I've never seen a dead body at this time. I'd never seen an open coffin or knew what it looked like, how they would position it in the room. So all of these factors I had never physically seen with my eyes. One night I had this vivid dream where I walked into a funeral parlour, into a room where an open coffin was placed in the centre of the room, and I walked in and I stood to the right hand side of the coffin, halfway along, and I looked in to see who was there. The woman looked identical to my mother.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Such a horrible nightmare. It's a nightmare. Yeah. Awful dream. So the woman looked identical to my mother. She was covered with white linen up to her chest. Her hair and her makeup was all done, and she looked really, really peaceful. However, I had this overwhelming sense of sadness. Obviously, yeah, it's super sad.
That does sound sad, yeah.
So I was there a while. I was upset, I was gathering my thoughts, and then the door opened. And in came my sister and my brother-in-law. They walked in and they stood on the opposite side of the coffin to me. They looked in and they saw Mum. They looked at each other, and then they looked over at me. And then we both kind of got upset together.
Well, yeah, this sounds so real.
Super real, and all like the specific details of where each person looked and then who came in. The sister walked in first, and then the brother-in-law, And then after this, I had to leave and I walked out of the door. This dream felt so real, and it wasn't like my other dreams. In October, a few months later, in 1991, I was visiting Kenya with my sister and my brother-in-law, when I had the identical dream again.
Oh, so this is a recurring nightmare.
Yeah, it's happened again, and it played out exactly the same time. Like, it played out exactly the same as before. Every detail. Which is just super spooky. And Dave says that this spooked him out too. I had never seen the same dream twice. Not like that. Let alone one that felt so real that it was almost like a vision. It's a hard dream to deal with as well. It's not a nice dream. When we got back to Manchester Airport, my sister went over to the phone box and called my mum. I had a terrible feeling that something may have happened. Whilst my sister was on the phone, I told my brother-in-law about my dream. I said, I don't think this phone call's going to be good. And I wanted to let someone know of the dreams that I'd been having, just in case they came true. My sister returned, and she said, Mum and Dad were doing just fine. Oh, I thought, maybe it was just a bad dream after all.
Okay.
In January 1992, so a few months later, my aunt June died. She was 55 years old and she died from a heart attack. And she almost looked identical to my mother. They would get mixed up all the time.
Oh no, that's so sad. 55 as well, so young.
So young, yeah. She also lived right next door to me, so we were very close. I'm 28 years old at the time, and like I said before, I've never seen a dead body before. And I thought I will go to the funeral parlour to see Aunt June and pay my respects. I didn't tell anybody about this. It was 6 in the evening, and I was at the funeral parlour, and they pointed me to a room where my aunt was. I opened the door, and in there was the coffin positioned in the centre of the room. The room felt familiar. I naturally walked to the right-hand side of the coffin, and I looked in to see Aunt June. She was lay there, with white linen up to her chest. Her hair and makeup was all done beautifully.
Oh, wow.
So spooky. I started to get upset by it all. And suddenly, my sister and my brother-in-law walked in. My sister walks in first, and then my brother-in-law. They stood on the opposite side of the coffin, just like the dream. They looked at each other before looking at me, and then I had to leave. When I had the dream, I hadn't made the connection that it wasn't my mother, but my Aunt June. Everything was identical. Everything. It all played out exactly as I had seen twice before. Once this dawned on me, this sort of freaked me out. I had witnessed something that hadn't happened yet, twice. I'm a skeptical person, but I couldn't explain this. I've never seen a funeral parlour, so how could I have dreamt it? Not only that, June never wore makeup. And yet the people at the funeral parlour had made her up with strong red lipstick. I had never seen her wear lipstick. And yet, the red lipstick was the same as I had dreamt in my dream. And this happened 30 years ago, last month. And even now, when I think about it, I can't explain it. How spooky is that story?
That's really spooky, the fact that it all came true. And it sounds like Dave's sister and brother-in-law turned up without him telling them that he was going.
Yeah, no one knew he was going to be there. And yet it still played out exactly the same. Everything to like the finer detail. Super. It's almost like a clairvoyant kind of, you know, you see in the future before it's existed.
Yeah, that's incredibly spooky. As a premonition for what happened only a few months later. Have you ever had a dream like that where you've dreamt something that came true?
I don't think so, no. I mean, I've had little things where I'll dream something and then something, I don't know, it's like, it's almost like deja vu, like, oh, I feel like this is familiar, but, or I dreamt something about, I don't know, like an object or a thing, and then that next day I like, oh, I see that object. So I don't know whether it's kind of
it's already manifesting.
Yeah, manifesting, or like in the back of my mind that I've already made, like I'm maybe subconsciously looking for that thing. But I've never had a dream like this before. No, have you?
No, I don't think I've ever dreamt something so vividly that then turned out to be real. I've definitely had nightmares before.
Yeah.
And like you say, sometimes I'll be in a scenario and I'm like, wow, I could have sworn that I've already lived this already.
Yeah.
Or this has already happened, or this conversation has already happened.
Yeah.
But nothing to that extent.
No, not with that much detail. Super spooky. Well, thank you for sending that in, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Our next story. So this one has like two stories and a little, like an extra little tidbit as well. So this one's from Sue.
Nice one.
The first one is called Dog Guardian Angels.
Okay, interesting.
When I was younger, I lived in a remote valley in Portugal. We had a large front room with a glass sliding doors on one side. And then my parents' bedroom kind of came off this. We had two boxer dogs at the time, Thumper and Lecky. They would sleep in the front room each night. Occasionally, the dogs would need to go outside during the night, and they would rattle the glass doors to be let out. One night, my mother heard the dogs rattling the door. She gets up half asleep and she walks into the dark room. She doesn't turn the lights on. She goes up to the door and she sees the dog that wants to be let out. She opens the door and she goes, "Go on then, off you go." But the dog backs away. She thought that was really strange and was sort of getting frustrated as it's 3 a.m. She says again, "Go on then, go on out." But the dog backs away. This caused her to turn the lights on. As she does this, she sees that Thumper is fast asleep, but Lecky is hemorrhaging on the floor. My mother realises that this is a medical emergency. She looks outside where she saw the dog asking to be let out, and she sees two pale dogs walking off into the distance. And like I said before, we lived somewhere incredibly remote. There was no one around, and there's no other dogs here. They called the emergency vet who saved Lecky. The vet said that if she had bled through the night, she wouldn't have made it until the morning. So the two dogs who'd woke my mother up saved Lecky's life. If that one dog who refused to go outside hadn't have done that, my mother wouldn't have turned the lights on. And who? So there was obviously one of those dogs as well that was rattling the door enough to wake Sue's mother up for her to get out of bed. How spooky is that story?
That's really spooky because...
Incredible.
When they said pale dogs, I wonder if they meant, you know, kind of ghostly apparition style or...
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just like... Two pale dogs that had somehow realised there was a dog in distress in there.
I think, though, they were like ghost or spirit forms, or like guardian angels, I guess the title is, because they were inside, like, she saw the one inside the house, and there was no way that other dogs could be in there. And Thumper and Lecky weren't, well, Thumper was asleep and Lecky wasn't making much noise. It wouldn't have woken Sue's mother up. So, yeah, they kind of saved those dogs. Lecky, I don't know.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's hard to explain,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things that I've heard stories before about mysterious animals, like leading someone to safety if they've got lost and stuff like that. So maybe there are some guardian angel animals out there.
Maybe. It'd be nice to think that. She also says like a little like a little tidbit as well that she says about how her mother always felt at home at Portugal and that it was felt very familiar to her. She moved over, you know, during her life, but it almost felt like it was home. She would say that she already knew her past life and that she thought she was part of the Spanish Armada. And she described that one time she visited Cornwall, which she hadn't been to before, and she felt as though she recognised it and thought she'd been there. She travelled there by boat in a past life. So maybe she could be very connected to that kind of like other world, the realms.
That is super spooky. Yeah, that is really spooky.
I love the past life stories, and you know, you hear about how someone can like share like incredible details about something that they've never experienced this life, and they can go into so much detail because they've already lived it like previously. You know how you can hear like kids and stuff where they're like all this detail that they shouldn't have knowledge on, and yet they can just reel it off like they've already lived.
Yeah, it. Definitely. My nan has some. I should have asked, spoken to my nan about this episode actually. Only just realised it's a bit too late now, but she's got some really good stories.
Next time,
100%. There's some really good stories. She truly believes that all the women on that side of my family have these kind of
gifts.
I've forgotten how she described it. Yeah, like a gift. My mum's always claimed to have quite vivid dreams that are premonitions for things that happen. And even though my dad's super sceptical, even he thinks, or he vouches that my mum's told him things have happened before they've happened. And my grandmother's got some really interesting stories from the women on her side of the family. Yeah, it's definitely something that we could cover in another episode, because there's some really kind of spooky tales that are rooted in reality, but kind of make you go like, how could that person have known that?
Yeah, you just can't explain it. Yeah, we'll definitely have to include those next time.
Indeed.
Sue also goes on to say another story as well. This one's called The Sailor.
The Sailor, okay.
Yeah. So she says, like I said before, we are still in Portugal. It's a really isolated, remote area, and we live in this valley. And when I was 10, 11 years old, my parents went out for the evening. Next to the house, there was like a tiny cottage where Adelina used to live, and she'd pop over every now and then to check that I was okay. As it was so remote, you know, my mind would run wild with all these things. But one night, I was in bed. During this time, I didn't have any curtains on my windows. I was just about to fall asleep when I looked out the window and I saw a man dressed as a sailor. I could see him from his chest up, and he was looking into the window. Oh, which is so scary.
Yeah, there's something extra spooky about something in a window.
Looking in.
Don't like that.
No. I was very scared, but I knew he wasn't from this time. It was really odd. So the bedroom was on the ground floor. So the sailor was stood looking into her window.
Be extra spooky if it wasn't the ground floor.
Yeah, woo, like floating up. Yeah, wouldn't it? I convinced myself that I had just imagined it. I closed my eyes and I tried to go to sleep. I didn't think much more about that night, and I didn't tell anybody what I'd seen. Around when I was 20 years old, I was hanging out with my friend Lucilia, who lived in the same valley as me. As conversations go round, we got onto the topic of paranormal. She told me that there was a lost sailor who haunted the valley, and that many people had seen him. It was only until then that I had realised I had seen the searching sailor.
Wow, I wonder what he's searching for. Maybe a lost love or something.
Maybe. But for 10 years later, she hasn't told anybody. 10 years later, then the story is like corroborated by other people who'd witnessed it.
Ooh. Yeah. That was like me. That was like me with my Liverpool story with the ghost in the hotel.
Our first episode,
yeah, because I can still remember feeling like the person looking at me wasn't from this time, and then also having it corroborated like 15 years later. Makes it extra spooky.
Yeah. It does, because when people are saying the same story and you don't know those people or have told them about it, and then they're saying the exact same thing that you've seen, it makes it so much more
very
real.
Haunting.
It's super spooky. Well, thank you, Sue, for sending those stories in. They were great.
Thanks, Sue.
And the final story is one that my friend Anna has sent in. This one's more true crime.
Nice, big up, Anna.
Yeah. I think you've met Anna. Anna was the one that...
I have. From Belgium,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she's from Belgium. She came and visited whilst we were at uni one time. So this one is called Grand Canyon.
Is that a reference to the place in the US or...?
Yeah. The Grand Canyon in the US.
Nice.
In the year 2018... I went to the USA to visit my friend in California. My mum was a bit scared as she believed that every American owns a gun. I told her, it's all good, and me getting into a gunfight was slim to none. So I kissed her goodbye, and off I went. I think that's probably famous last words.
Yeah.
The first 3 days I stayed in our apartment complex because my friend would go to work with the car. So I couldn't move around until he'd come home. So he asked me if I wanted to visit a place together. I was super excited and I pointed out that I wanted to go and visit the Grand Canyon. We were debating about the day on which we'd go because he had to take a day off work to do so. Finally, after debating a few hours, we decided to leave on Friday and come back on Saturday after spending a night in a hotel nearby. On our way back, we saw a really cool jewellery shop, where we decided to stop. The guy who I was with loved looking at rings, and he asked me to pick one out for him. So that's what I did. I chose a ring with a symbol on it. He asked the woman in the store what the symbol on the ring meant. She explained that the symbol stood for guidance, protection, and safety of spirits. So he bought the ring.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Safety from spirits, okay.
So, like, yeah, it's like a protection, I guess. Protection and safety.
Like, we have the... Oh, what's that cross called? Is it like the St. Christian's cross or something for protection while travelling here?
Oh.
Is that a thing?
Yes. Is it like Saint Augustine or something?
Something like that. One of the saints. There's so many.
Yeah. that does sound familiar though. After we drove home, it was my turn to drive. He was looking at his phone, and me, whilst I was chatting away, I was getting no response. So I asked him what was wrong. He told me, Anna, we can't come home. I looked rather confused and I asked him again what was wrong. He told me that our neighbour next door had lost it and had started to shoot around the apartment complex with a gun. And he held our other neighbour hostage. so scary.
So he wasn't being held hostage, but his other neighbour was?
Yeah, one of the neighbours in the complex. He said that we can't go home because SWAT had raided our apartment. Isn't that so shocking?
That's unbelievable. I wonder if the ring then kept him safe.
Yes, because they were debating. I've spoken to Anna about this as well, and they were debating about like which day to go. I'm pretty sure she said how they decided on like the Saturday, and then like spur of the moment they were like, nope, we're gonna go Friday, we'll go today. So it's just, yeah, that split second decision. She says that the car filled up with silence and disbelief. I'd spoken to the neighbour a couple times and he seemed friendly. He would say hi back. It would just be like a quick passing hi, and he seemed friendly enough. We still had...
The one holding the others hostage.
The one that shot through, yeah, shot all the complex and held the hostage.
Wow.
Yeah. Spooky that she's like, she spoke to him. Ugh.
Mm.
We still had a few hours to drive. The man was eventually arrested and we could go home. Luckily, no one got hurt. But when we got home, we saw that bullets had found its way through the thin walls of the apartment, and more than 7 holes were found in the place that I used to sit on the days that I would stay at home. So, if she hadn't have gone that day, wow, okay, she would have been shot. Isn't
That's it? Unbelievable. Yeah. That's unbelievable. It is kind of wild in America, the volume of gun crime.
Yeah, that it does scare me a little. It does. It was. Yeah. I remember when I went over a few years ago that we went to this place to have some pancakes in the morning, and this guy just like walks in with a gun in his holster and like sits down to eat pancakes, and I'm like, what? This is so bizarre. I've never seen like guns just like everywhere. Like, do you really need that whilst eating pancakes?
Well, yeah, I think for people that are listening in America, like, we're not going to get into the whole gun debate, but it is quite interesting. You guys might not realize that it's so foreign for us in Europe to have to think about that sort of thing, or that we even have that perception. Maybe people in the States would disagree, but I remember when I was in the States I had a great time. I think it's a really cool place. But like sometimes me and my friend would encounter someone that seemed a bit unusual, and then having to think like, oh God, does this guy have a gun? It's just something I wouldn't have to think about here. Like, I encounter unusual people all the time, but I still kind of engage with them because it's just funny. Whereas in the States, I was like, oh my God, I hope this guy doesn't start following us or has a gun or whatever.
It's like an extra risk. I don't know. Yeah, it's just not what we're used to at all. It's just... Well, yeah, different kind of world. But I love the States. I've been twice, and every time it's just been like great adventure. Such a cool place to visit.
Yeah, very diverse. It's cool.
Anna continues to say that she had to dust off her suitcases from the dust that came off the wall. I still couldn't believe it. What would have happened if we hadn't decided to leave on that day? I would have been home, alone, right where the bullets penetrated the walls. I fell to my knees in prayer to thank those spirits for our protection and safety. After this, I had to phone my mum to let her have the I told you so moment. Of course, like, her mum right at the start was like, be careful, there's guns. And she was like, no, it'll be fine. And then that probably didn't, probably scared her mum a little bit more. Oh dear.
Yeah. I can imagine so. I think my parents had a scare when I was in America because I accidentally stayed in a homeless shelter. Did I tell you that? On like one of the...
No.
I'm sure I've told you this story.
I don't think I have.
I definitely have.
I don't think I have. Right, okay. Maybe it might come back to me, but I cannot remember this.
Well, basically, we were in America for like 5 or 6 weeks. I can't remember now. This was like 6 years ago. And maybe even longer. But... we'd booked our accommodation up until like the third or fourth week, and we quickly realized when we got there that, like, hey, if we hadn't booked our accommodation in advance, we would have saved a lot more money, because we were turning up to like hostels, hotels, whatever, and getting there and realizing that if we'd paid on the day, then it would have been way cheaper.
Really? Okay.
So we just decided to not book anything in advance. And the first place we went to after that was in San Francisco. And we got to San Francisco and quickly realized we'd made a mistake because there was some kind of event going on in the city. I think it was a fun run or something.
Oh, no. Okay.
It meant everywhere was booked up. Everywhere was like booked right up. So we ended up spending, I spent $50 the first night to sleep on the floor of a hostel, which was by far the most I'd spent as well for one night's accommodation, to sleep on the floor.
Oh no.
Yeah. And then we also had to get like bailed out by my parents for the next night because we literally couldn't find anywhere. But we had managed to book somewhere for the night after that. And it was called, like the Budget Hotel or something. And we rocked up. And it was just a, door in a wall on this street, basically, with like a couple of shops next to it.
Okay.
And there were so many red flags. Like the first one was that it had a sign on the door saying curfew 9 p.m. no entry after 9 p.m. which isn't exactly what you expect from a hotel.
Yeah, okay. A curfew.
We were like, this is kind of weird. And we went in, like you ring the buzzer, they let you in, and it just stank of piss and just horrible, horrible things.
Okay.
And then we went up, walk up the stairs, and there's like bulletproof glass on the reception and more signs about the curfew, and a very disgruntled receptionist who told us that we were sharing a bathroom with 60 other rooms.
60?
Like, we paid like...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. We paid like $30 for...
Wow.
To stay here as well.
Oh my gosh.
Per night. And yeah, I can't remember how we found out. I think... So basically the first... We did actually stay there one night and it was awful. And like, I had actually seen someone that did look like a bit homeless in the hallway, in the corridor. And I said hello and he would just like grunted at me and almost like lunged
towards
me.
Okay. Not so friendly.
And I think when we were leaving the next day, this guy in a wheelchair came up to us and he was like, I'm not sure if this is a thing, like in California. Basically, I'm basing this knowledge off what this guy told me. But it was that, at least in California, they will subsidize certain hotels for homeless people and the disabled.
Okay.
Which is like our equivalent of a homeless shelter, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what he said. And then we were leaving, so we went to like a coffee shop and we're basically like, okay, what on earth are we going to do? And I was messaging another friend of mine that had been in San Francisco and explaining the situation. And he said, well, as long as you're not staying on the Tenderloin, you're probably going to be fine. So I Googled Tenderloin San Francisco.
Yeah.
Just to see. And it's a street that's like well known for crime.
Right.
And
okay.
Our hotel or whatever was literally smack bang in the middle of that street.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
What are the chances? Oh.
Yeah. So
that was a bit of a pickle.
We checked out. We got out of there and we went somewhere else. But that was, yeah, that was an interesting adventure.
Oh, that was, that'd be a little sketch. Oh, dear.
Very sketch. Well, there we go.
Chances.
I added a little extra story on
there
the end.
There you go, yeah. Oh, that was, I don't think I've heard that one.
I can't believe I haven't told you that one before. I really thought I had. Whoops.
Well, those are all our listener stories for this episode. Please send your ones in, true crime, paranormal, anything you like. We'd love to be able to read them on here because this was super fun. I love reading about others' personal experiences.
Me too. Awesome, yeah. Thanks so much for sending those stories in, guys. And like Georgia said, if you've got any yourself, send them over. We'll read them. Do you want to read out the socials and the email, Georgia, so people know how to contact us if they have a story to share?
Yes, that sounds good. So if you want to share your true crime or paranormal stories, no matter how big or small, you can do so through our email address, goreandguiltypodcast@gmail.com. You can also do it on our website, www.goreandguiltypodcast.com. On there, there should be a page where you can submit your stories through that. If you want to follow us on Instagram, it's @goreandguiltypodcast, or our Twitter, @goreandguilty. If you like this episode, please leave a review or let us know what you think, because especially with it being a new style special episode, we'd love to hear your thoughts. And yeah, well, thank you for sending these stories in. We hope to hear more, and thank you for listening. And remember, we won't judge you.
Gore is your guilty pleasure.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.